there are good and bad things about new technology at any turn. The internet obviously has a lot of good and bad things, but I think that we need to learn how to embrace those good things and make, you know, the internet and AI a place where we can come to learn mm-hmm. and know God better.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to empower church leaders just like you to harness the power of artificial intelligence for sermon prep, outreach, worship, and so much more. We do this by providing you with exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators from around the globe who are actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach people for Christ. I'm your host, Cassandra Robinson, and the AI for Churches podcast starts now. Hey everyone, welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Robinson, and today we're talking about how churches can leverage AI like ChatGPT to enhance their communications and outreach. My guest today is Katie Allred, an AI expert who has been using tools like ChatGPT to help organize information for churches and generate actual usable content. We're going to discuss the benefits of ChatGPT and how it can provide some incredible streamlined ways to organize content, to do so much more than I think that I even know right now. So I'm excited to dive into the conversation. So without further ado, let's get started. Katie, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about how you first discovered ChatGPT and what made you realize it could be really useful for churches.
Yeah, well, I had been using Jasper AI for a little while before that. Jasper is more templated. It has like options where you can click and do AIDA, AIDA, different marketing kind of things. And so I was interested in that and had used that, and they have like a long form generator, but I wasn't seeing the results I really wanted. And then I found ChatGPT after it was announced and signed up for the paid edition because I was playing with the free one too much. And yeah, really found what I was kind of looking for and able to like train something to talk back to me to give me the results that I wanted to see. Really is like having a personal assistant to help you organize your information. It can come up with some great information, but the more you feed it, the better it will be.
And in your experience, so how long now have you been using ChatGPT in like the church landscape?
Yeah, I mean, probably since it was announced, really. So I that was probably like a year ago, I guess. But then Jasper, I've been using since like 2020, I guess, whenever it first came out, which it was named something else. We talked about that previously about Jasper used to be named Jarvis, but now it's named Jasper.
That's right. I remember that. And I also remember in our previous conversation that you were working in a church, working with a church, and did a lot of like transcription. And
it was Yeah. So before I worked at a church and I would pull transcriptions to do sermon shots, essentially. And people were always wondering how I got those transcriptions. Originally, it was a medical transcriptionist that was actually doing it for us manually. And then eventually, I started using Otter AI to do that, which was a really awesome tool. It's on your iPhone. It's also on the computer now. And it will pull a transcription from a recording fairly quickly. So that became one easy way to get some work done. But then with ChatGPT now, you can take that transcription and say, pull the highlights, make a summary, give me the best quotes for social media and a rating of how they'll do on social media and why. It's a whole different universe than what I was experiencing before.
And the church that you're working at initially using a medical transcriptionist for sermon prep, right? And after a sermon was recorded or delivered, then taking that sermon and then actually you mentioned watching the video, the sermon, right?
And having to scrub it, right? Like, yeah, I had to tell the video editor, cut this at 318 and then cut it at 348 to get the 30-second clip or whatever that I needed for social media. And I'd be like, here's the first word, here's the last word, just to get that short And I would have to highlight, like, the in the sermon, I would highlight the portions, I would put the time stamps, all that kind of stuff. And now I could drop a sermon transcript into ChatGPT and do the same thing, but so much quicker. And not only in ChatGPT, there's a lot of now AIs out there that can help you cut your sermon clips so much faster than before.
Like, for example, which one comes to mind?
Yeah, Sermon Shots actually just came out with their AI version. That literally just happened like yesterday. So some new news. They have an AI now inside of it. So that's really cool. There's Opus Clips. There's repurpose.io, I think. There's quite a few different. I know even Riverside, if you, you know, I recorded my podcast in Riverside. It has an AI in it now that will get the best clips from your podcast and make certain, make little clips, you know, video clips for you. So yeah, there's definitely a lot more. And is it perfect? No, for sure not. You definitely have to watch them and be like, that's not an important.
Right.
Or like, that could be better or whatever. But for the most part, it is pretty good at picking out where the best portions are. What I really liked about Sermon Shots is that you can add music and it has the captions on top. There's a lot of really cool little features that make it better.
So, Katie, you went from manually scrubbing a sermon to now uploading that video, same video, to something like you said, repurpose.io. In a matter of seconds, it can produce highlights or clips from the sermon, whereas before it would take you, I don't know,
hours. I mean, it would take me like an hour, and then I'd send it to a video producer, and it would take them an hour, and I'd get it back. It'd take me another hour to schedule them and to write captions for them. And so, I mean, it still takes some time, but at least there's not that going back and forth, and you're not putting more in your video producer than is necessary. So this, you know, makes it a lot easier for a social media manager to be able to do by themselves.
And since you've been in the church landscape for a while now, Katie, and you've built an incredible business around church communications, what would you say is some simple and effective ways that churches can leverage ChatGPT now, you know, for their social media and outreach?
Yeah, well, you know, even outside of social media, I think it can build amazing communication plans. And asking ChatGPT to help you come up with a campaign, a marketing campaign, an ad campaign, and then asking it, like, what questions would you ask me to make this the best possible plan? And it will ask you questions, and then you can feed it the answers, and it will come up with a more comprehensive plan because of your answers. You know, you can ask it from the start, hey, I need you to make a marketing plan for Easter. Okay, it'll, like, write down some things, but then after it does that, say, what questions would you ask me to make this better? Essentially. And then it'll come back with a list of probably like 20-ish questions. You fill in those questions, like, who's the target audience? Who are you trying to reach? What's the date for Easter? How far along is that? Because it doesn't have like a sense of time right now. It will eventually probably, but not at the moment. What's your demographic? You know, where are you located? Those kind of things. And then it will make a more comprehensive plan based off your answers, which is really great. And so those kind of things are really helpful, but there's so many other uses I can think of, like replying to emails. It makes your life so much easier. Or maybe you've been going back in a long, I mean, I'm sure we've all done this, super, super long thread of emails. And now you've got basically a plan that you need to put together based on these emails. You can copy and paste those emails into ChatGPT and say, write a plan based on these emails or something like that. Write a strategy based on these emails. And it will organize the information for you. You review it, and now you've got your plan that you can put into a Google Doc and share with the team instead of saying, well, it was in that email that was like four emails back or whatever. And so it does make your life a lot easier. You know, I think a lot of people think about ChatGPT as an orchestrating information for you, like writing your sermon for you. Like, and I mean, I guess it can sort of like start you out, but like the thing is it's really a better tool than it is a maker, if that makes any sense. So like it really needs your help to do things well. So yeah, you could like write down some sermon ideas, and like I've had it generate like deck outlines for me. So like maybe I'm giving a lecture on this specific thing for marketing. I can ask it to give me a deck outline in the style of a TED Talk or in the style of a pitch or whatever, you know, or maybe I'm using the dot dash methodology for explaining a problem and solution. I can ask it to do those things and organize that information. But at the end of the day, I'm still the one who has to put in the information to let it know. It can generate some general ideas for me, but then I have to go back and be like, no, don't say that. Like, say this instead, or, you know, go with this perspective instead of that perspective. And so, yeah, I mean, it could probably help you generate some type of manuscript. Would it be the best manuscript? Probably not. So it's best to work with it, not have it do everything like for you. It can't exactly do that because it's not a human, right? Like computers are only as smart as the user using them. And therefore, it will only do what you can give it, essentially.
And is that the core of generative AI? Essentially.
Yeah, I think any generative AI right now. Now, you know, will they get to a point where, you know, we can give them a speck of an idea and it can run with it? I mean, perhaps, maybe. But right now, like, it really is very much like having a wheelbarrow that helps you put the bricks and carry them to the next side, right? It's not exactly building the house for you. It's just helping you build the house.
I appreciate that because I think a lot of the fear is around, oh, we're going to have sermons produced by ChatGPT and there's going to be no like human touch or element to that. But in this conversation, we're drawing out the fact that ChatGPT needs you and the...
It can't just, I mean, you can tell it to write a sermon on Sermon on the Mount. It will like come up with a general idea of what it thinks it should say based on the information that other people have fed it and that it has in its database. But like, it's probably not going to be the best sermon because sermons really require a personal element because God works through you. And because that's just how people are changed. Life's changes happens in the context of relationship. It doesn't happen some other way, right? And so it has to be personal. There has to be some kind of personal element, I think, to a compelling sermon. And just having what ChatGPT puts out isn't personal. So it needs to have, you know, your perspective in it for sure.
Well said. I think that, like you said, life changes happen in the context of relationships. And at the end of the day, ChatGPT is artificial intelligence, right? That's the key word. It's artificial. It's not a human, and it requires our input in order to give it a quality output. Yeah. And so having those types of conversations with ChatGPT, I think, is something that is fun and experimental. And that's how we should look at it, right? Having this conversation with AI, but where it's only as good as our input, right? We are constantly still consuming the information. We have a relationship with God, or we're reading the Bible so that we have that context and that information to then deliver it so that it can give a more comprehensive or quality output.
Yeah, I think so.
Katie, what challenges do you feel or do you foresee churches facing when they're implementing tools like ChatGPT and leveraging other AI?
Yeah, I think that the challenges you might face are that you aren't giving it more, like you aren't asking it for more information. You're just like maybe putting out what it's giving you templated. Maybe that's not the best answer. I think, you know, that we'll continue to face, you know, what is it like and how it works and those kind of things. But at the same time, I think it's something more to be embraced than it is to be worried about. I think that we will see a lot of good come out of using AI because, like I said, it's just it's a tool. It helps you organize your information, and it will help you think in a different way. And I think that is good for all of us to give.
And how do you think, and just in your experience thus far, that ChatGPT and other AI tools will evolve over the next, you know, 1 to 5 to 10 years? I know talking to other podcast guests and AI experts, it's like we're in the Wild Wild West, right?
We are in the Wild Wild West. It's like the beginning of social media, which was quite a fun time, right? Like, I loved the beginning of social media because what I remember about it specifically was it changed the way people use the internet. Before social media, the internet was websites like journalism and then blogs, like maybe there were personal blogs, but there was no social media didn't exist, obviously. And then when social media happened, that became the internet. Like, that was pretty much what people thought the internet was. And I think that our kids especially, gosh, they're going to grow up in a world where AI is normal, right? Like, that their jobs are so much easier. And I don't think it's going to take away jobs. I think that we just have to learn to educate ourselves with it so that we know how to use it for our job, right? Because because it's a tool. It still needs somebody to give it the information, to do the skill, to do the work. And so I can foresee it like really growing and changing the way we work, but I don't see it taking away that work. I am excited about the possibilities of the tools that are there already, like ChatGPT. I think there's going to be so many tools created based on that. I mean, there already are, right? Like, probably like SermonShot, probably a lot of these different companies right now are pulling from the ChatGPT API, but there's other ones. There's Bard from Google, there's Claude, there's just so many different generative AI tools. And I think as they continue to progress, they'll get smarter and smarter. I love that Claude, you can upload a PDF and it can read the PDF and then answer questions based on the PDF. That's insane. Okay. And it's so good. Like, that's going to be really great for the future because it just helps us disseminate information in a faster, better way that we just haven't seen before.
That is incredible. Being able to upload a PDF and ask it questions, for example, like, what? Can you give me a summary from this PDF? Like, what are some things that Claude is able to do? I know that's...
Right. I even think about it for like med school. Not that I went to med school, but I'm like, wow, like, it's going to be so amazing for diagnostics and for just the future of like what healthcare looks like and being able to feed it all of your past medical records and then having it. I mean, people are scared, but then I'm like, no, it's really good though, because it's going to change the way this information is organized and it will be able to better predict things as we go forward. I also think about for churches, like how you can use it, feeding your attendance records into it so that it can give you a predicted analysis, a forecast of your highest attendance, you know, Sundays, so you'll know what those are. Of course, we know Easter and Christmas, but what if it's June 18th? It'd be nice to see like kind of that flow predictably from like the last 10 years, right? If you've got all that data, we could do that now with Excel, but wouldn't it be so much easier if you could just ask the AI, like, you know, what are the top 3 attendance Sundays for the last 10 years? Or, you know, even doing giving, like considering your giving patterns and considering, you know, small groups and how people are in those small groups and how they move around and discipleship. I just think there's a lot more good coming out of it soon that we just haven't seen quite yet.
Really exciting. And I think that, like you mentioned earlier, that the fear isn't that it's going to replace jobs, but that it's going to further empower us and supercharge our work.
Yeah.
So like really dismantling those beliefs that AI has arrived to replace us and do away with our jobs and all this kind of, it's fun to kind of think that way. I think it's very dramatic, right? And very...
It doesn't have to be a little dramatic, you know?
Exactly.
If there's anyone who has a flair for the drama, it's the church. Let's be honest.
So true. That really, the idea that, oh, is AI Satan, right? Is AI the devil? That's kind of like a funny question, right? Like, it's dramatic, right? Like, we want to like think that these things are the Antichrist or whatever, right?
Sure.
But previous, I think Bart mentioned, you know, God has given us like the intelligence to create this tool, right? Like to create AI, right? So why not harness it and leverage it to expand God's kingdom and use it for good? Just like the internet is used in a negative way, and it can be, right? Any tool can be used in a negative way.
It's very much like the print, when like print came about. It's, you know, any new technology is the devil until we learn how to like use it for the gospel. So like, you know, print was the devil until we printed a Bible, and then, you know, that was good. And then it was bad when TV or radio came out, that was the devil, and then it became good. And, you know, and there's still so many things that, yeah, I mean, it's a give and take. There are good and bad things about new technology at any turn. The internet obviously has a lot of good and bad things. But I think that we need to learn how to embrace those good things and make, you know, the internet and AI a place where we can come to learn and know God better.
And that's really the goal of this podcast, right, is to help empower churches specifically who are typically, like you mentioned earlier, slow to adopt these technologies, you know, for a reason, right? We're unfamiliar with something. There's fear there, but we're here to have a conversation with church leaders, pastors, to say, hey, no, this is really an opportunity for you to further expand the gospel, to create more engagement and connection within your church community. And here's how you can do that. And we want to empower you to be able to do that, because whether you like it or not, AI is here, right? Like, not going to go.
It's already happened.
I think it's
hard to take it back now. I think people would be so mad if you took it back, you know, like, because I'm like, wow, I am like producing twice as much content because of ChatGPT. Like, please don't take away the tool. So I think that we're just going to have to learn how to work with it.
And I think that having that mindset shift is really important, right? Where it's like something like it's against us versus like, actually, it's a tool that we can leverage and we can come together and really make some magic happen. Like you said, creating and producing twice as much content than before, being able to get out more of the word and ministry in ways that we haven't before. Yeah. I think that's maybe where we have to start like wrapping our minds around, like, what can it do? How can we leverage this resource, just like any other tool, like you said, the Gutenberg Press or social media or the internet, to further expand God's kingdom? And really, ultimately, the word does say, right, like all these things will come to pass, you know, but the end is not yet. So it's like it's biblical, even like these innovations, the things that are happening here, like God is not surprised. He's not like put off or like taken by, you know, like, oh my gosh, I had no idea this was going to happen.
Yeah,
like, no.
That the humans were going to make this.
Yeah. What? And yeah, that wasn't in the plan. No, he's well aware. So it's up to us now to, because we have free will and we have like you said earlier, that the Holy Spirit is within us.
Yeah.
And so it is also guiding and leading us in how to like leverage this tool in an ethical and responsible way, and to trust that.
Mm-hmm. And to use it for the good.
Exactly. Because we do have, if anyone was to, you know, leverage it in a way that was good, it would be us as Christians and believers. So why not, versus steering clear of it and allowing people who don't have the Holy Spirit in them to use the tool.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Okay. And speaking of which, it's a great segue. And how do you maintain the human and spiritual elements of like church communications, like while also leveraging tools like ChatGPT, which we touched on a little bit?
Yeah, I think it really is leaning into your story, leaning back into, because it can't produce that. You know, it's funny because I'll ask it to produce an outline for something, and then it'll be like, insert personal anecdote here. Like, enter a personal story about how this did this or how this changed that. And I'm like, yeah, it can't do that. It doesn't have a personal anecdote to give it. And so at the end of the day, we still have to have that personal touch to what this is producing and what it's creating. You know, I was even thinking a minute ago about how you could use it to do research, you know, across the Bible, there's themes, right? And you could say, well, how does this theme relate to that verse and those kind of things? But at the end of the day, when you're using it, it's still going to have to also relate back to you and relate back to the people you're talking to. Ooh. So I think that that is going to be the piece that brings us back to that personal connection for sure.
Interesting. Even asking ChatGPT to like research the Bible, that's database that it already has within to scan the Bible for X, Y, or Z. I think that's mm-hmm. really interesting, whether it be like, oh, come up with like affirmations or come up mm-hmm. with verses on God's loving kindness and his compassion, you know, that you want to research or dive deeper into. It's like able to aggregate that information for you. Mm-hmm. And how much more streamlined does that help? Like how much time that it's saving us?
Yeah, it saves us a lot of time. And we can use that, you know, in our Bible studies and in our curriculum. It just makes it so much easier.
So going forward, Katie, this has been really an encouraging conversation. What advice would you give to churches who are, you know, starting to consider using ChatGPT, but are hesitant, right, sort of on the fence right now?
Yeah, there is a friend of mine who talked about when God brings you something that you are unsure of, you should explore it, don't ignore it.
Interesting.
And I've always thought about explore it, don't ignore it. And so I've always kind of held on to that of, well, if God has brought me this, then let me see why he's bringing it to me. And if you're listening to this, then, you know, obviously you're a little interested in AI because you're listening to a podcast for it. And so if you're interested, don't, you know, ignore it. Try it out. Don't ignore it. Explore it. See what the possibilities are and learn how to use it and just see, you know, make up your own case and your own kind of ideas about what it can be in the way you can use it, because I think each person uses it differently.
I think that's what's really neat about the tool is that, like you mentioned, it's very customizable. You are the input, right? You're the one that's managing right. It and monitoring it. So like, it depends on you.
Yep.
So it's neat to see like, hey, share your personal experience with ChatGPT and it's going to come out with something so unique that's different than what you put in.
For sure.
Really encouraging our audience right now to explore it, not ignore it. Explore it, have fun, experiment. It's in, like, we are in the wild, wild west. We are in the early stages of the development of generative AI. And so how can you use it to empower your ministry versus ignoring it and mm-hmm. being fearful of it, because it is here. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
We are here at the AI for Churches podcast, encouraging you to explore it, be empowered. It's an exciting tool and we're here with you every step of the way. And there's so many resources and community forums out there too around ChatGPT and how you can leverage it. So feel free to reach out. Katie, how can our audience connect with you on social media?
Yeah, of course. They can join the Church Communications Facebook group, of course. You can go to churchcommunications.com. We have a conference coming up, and we'll probably talk a little bit about AI at that conference at the end of September. And then you can catch me on Instagram at KDJAllred as well.
Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure having you this morning, Katie, and I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for everyone for listening, and you can also reach us at ai.missionalmarketing.com to learn more. We do have an app as well, Sermon Spark. Great opportunity for you to explore it. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you for listening to the AI for Churches podcast, your one-stop shop for all things AI, ministry, and innovation. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to the podcast and drop us a comment. Let us know what you found helpful. Also, visit us at ai.missionalmarketing.com for more resources to help you unlock the power of AI for your ministry.